C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, November 29th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. When we talk about retirement, we often focus on money. Building your 401k account or your IRA over time to ensure you have enough to live on once you leave the workforce. But financial advisors are reminding retirement planners that there's more, a lot more, to mapping out your later years than just dollars and cents.
For many people, work really is their life. And so the question becomes, when you no longer have that focal point, what are you going to do every morning? After you get up and eat your breakfast, what's next?
Wall Street Journal and Barron's contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk has been talking to financial planners and advisors about the non-financial priorities that they discuss with their clients. We'll ask her about that after the break.
C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Many retirees believe that attaining financial security will be the key to a fulfilling retirement. But financial advisors say that's just one side of the equation, and that people nearing retirement also have to think about non-financial questions as they plan for their later years. Our contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk wrote about this for the WSJ sister publication Barron's, and she's with us to discuss. Cheryl, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
You know, Cheryl, when it comes to retirement, all we hear about is managing your 401k or your IRA properly to be sure there's enough money to live on. But it sounds like financial advisors are raising the old adage that money isn't everything.
That's right, because you can have $1 million or $2 million or $3 million or whatever in retirement, but that doesn't mean you're going to be happy in retirement and you're going to enjoy and feel fulfilled in your retirement. Money's important, but it really isn't everything in this case.
Okay, so what typically falls into this non-financial category that financial advisors are talking about?
It's all sorts of things. It's really like, what are you going to do when you get up in the morning? You know, you've been working for so many years of your life, and for many people, work really is their life. And so the question becomes, when you no longer have that focal point, what are you going to do every morning? After you get up and eat your breakfast, what's next? What makes you happy? What fulfills you? What gives you meaning and what gives you purpose?
Well, let's talk about why advisors say people need to focus on these non-financial retirement goals. What can happen if they don't?
A lot of people are just really miserable when it comes to retirement. So when you leave the workforce and you think, I'm going to have so much free time and I'm really looking forward to it. But then after a while, it just becomes boring and mundane. And it's the same thing every day, right? How many times can you weed the garden? How many times can you take a walk around the block? You know, people tend to say, oh, I'm going to travel a lot. But at some point, traveling is tiring, or you may just not want to, you may really want to stay home. But once you stay home, what are you going to do with your time? It's really a matter of finding things that make you happy and it make your day meaningful, your retirement days meaningful. Remember, retirement can last for people 20 to 30 years. And that's a really long time. So again, how many weeds can you pull?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, Cheryl, this sounds a lot like the broader idea of retirement goals that we hear discussed by financial planners and advisors. So let's get into the nitty-gritty of actual steps that people can take. What do retirement advisors suggest that people actually do to plan out their retirement?
Well, if you think about it during your working years, you have goals for your working life. You know, you get up in the morning, you maybe have breakfast, you set a goal for yourself each day, and this is what you want to accomplish. But when you have an open book that is retirement, it can be overwhelming to people. So sometimes to really break it down and to set goals for yourself, this is what I want to do. This is what I want my retirement to look like. It makes it more palpable than just this overwhelming, I have 30 years left of my life, you know, to do what? So if you set goals for yourself, you know, this is what I want to accomplish. I've always really wanted to volunteer, but I've never had the time. I really enjoy giving money to this charity. Maybe I can, you know, give my time, not just money, to that charity. And this is how it's going to look. And then when you have, you know, say 4, 5, 6 goals, whatever those are, you can schedule them in. And it's almost like your retirement becomes your working life.
Now, the other thing is that there are inevitable life changes that occur as people get older. How much do they play a role in these conversations advisors are having with people planning for retirement?
A lot of times people have different pictures of retirement. So when couples imagine retirement, they imagine it very differently. And this is actually really came to light in a really remarkable data from the U.S. Census Bureau, which touched on the prevalence of gray divorce. And that's the phenomenon of couples splitting up after age 50. So according to the Census Bureau, divorce rates were highest, about 43% among women and men ages 55 to 64. That's huge. That's a huge number. And it's pretty telling. And one of the reasons that this happens is that people are spending so much time together. Maybe they've grown, when they're working and they're not spending all those days together, now they all of a sudden they're thrown together and they may have very different pictures of what they want retirement to be. And that's one of the reasons why it's so important to talk with your partner or spouse about what you each expect from retirement. When you don't do this, problems can occur. So in retirement, when you don't have a lot to do and you really haven't planned ahead or thought about what retirement is going to look like, boredom can really set in and even depression. I know I had spoken to one financial advisor who was telling me that a client of his became really depressed after he retired. He just didn't know what to do with his life. And his wife was, equally despondent because she wanted to travel. And the husband had traveled his whole life, couldn't bring himself to do it. And the wife just said, I really want to travel. I've spent my whole life working. This is what I want to do. They never really discussed what they were planning to do in their respective retirements. And it became a sticking point for them. Luckily, in this case, the advisor told me that the wife actually ended up traveling with the daughter and doing a pretty extensive vacation with the daughter. And that satisfied her. And the husband was able to relax a little bit on his own and then also seek help for some of the depression he felt that really just took place after he left the workforce and just didn't have that sense of purpose anymore.
Okay, so financial advisors definitely see an opportunity here for people to help ward off depression and boredom and potentially even divorce. But to be sure, money is still important in the retirement picture, right?
Oh, absolutely. No one's saying you shouldn't save for retirement. It's very important. The idea is it's not the only thing. So that just because you have a nest egg of $1 million or $5 million or $10 million or $20 million, that's not going to make you happy. You have to find the activities and the fulfilling life that makes you happy. So money is a path to happiness, we'll say. It's not the end goal.
And then regarding these non-financial items that are on the table in retirement planning, how far in advance do financial advisors suggest these conversations should start?
People even in their 40s can start having these conversations. And you're probably not, in your 20s, retirement's really, really far off. But even in your 40s, it's not so far-fetched to start having these conversations. You're starting to talk about what's next in our lives. Maybe your kids are getting older, they're going to college. It's not a bad time to at least start and lay the seeds for these discussions. I know I spoke to a financial advisor who was working with a couple in their 40s, and they were very well off and expecting to get inheritances from each of their sides. But the husband really was hoping to spend his retirement just relaxing on a ranch that they were expecting to inherit. Meanwhile, the wife wanted to sell that ranch, and they hadn't even talked about it. And when this came out, they were able to really talk about it. But can you imagine if they had waited until retirement and all of a sudden she's like, okay, let's sell the ranch. And he's like, no, I want to live on the ranch. Like, some of these issues that happen with couples later on are because they don't talk about it early on. So really, the sooner you can have these conversations, the better.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal and Barron's contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk. Cheryl, thanks so much for being with us.
And thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.